Hello and welcome back to a new episode of the Global Glug. My name is Renato Molo and today we are going to talk about the rise of African Rum. We are going to talk with Ron Nar in Nairobi, Kenya. He is a Rum ambassador, founder of Tortuga Rum Bar, one of the first, if not the first, Rum Bar in Kenya. And we are going to see what he's doing, what he's going to do, his perspective of Africa Rum industry, how this is going to evolve. Africa is a huge continent, of course. There are plenty of islands. La Réunion is maybe the first one we are thinking of with its rums, Isotier, Savannah, and the Sillery du Mât, Mauritius as well. And these two islands have been a long tradition, rum production tradition. They started in the 18th and 19th century, but also other countries now are producing rum, and since 2002 there is a new brand in the Seychelles called Takamaka, which is now growing constantly, and now they are distributed in 28 different markets in the world. Kenya, we will see with Ron, Bahari Rum is also taking a part of the market. Ghana, other interesting country with Rain Rum, which was launched in January 2023 by Amma Mensa, and other countries like, of course, South Africa with Moba and other distilleries. So I just scratched the surface. Of course, there is way more rums produced in African on the African continent. Ron will also tell us about another rum brand he just discovered. He just went to visit. Let's talk with Ron now and listen what he has to say. Enjoy the interview.
Well, a little bit about my history first and how I got into rum. I think it's one of the first things to start off with. Yes, I'm right now in Kenya. However, I was born and bred in Haiti. So it's in the middle of the rum, the number one rum producing region in the world. So the Caribbean, yep. Latin America, and the Caribbean being the number one producing rum in the world. Mm-hmm. I think I fell in love with rum very young. That's the number one thing I need to say, because I cannot even remember rum being out of my life. So very young, it was, you know, from the kids' birthday parties where the adults were just having an excuse to also party, and seeing those bottles of rum on the table and being curious, and then growing up with it as part of my life. One thing led to the other, and now, you know, it's like growing up with this whole passion for rum. I ended up right now in Kenya, where I had a bar, a rum bar, the first rum bar, I would say, in the entire Eastern African region, and Central and Eastern African region. So it was the first rum bar called Tortuga Rum Bar, where we managed to do 2 years of magnificent rum tasting, getting people to know more about the culture when it comes to rum, getting them to know what it is about and how to taste it, really, and appreciate this great spirit, I would say.
And how would you describe?
Go ahead.
How would you describe? In Kenya, the rum culture is, because I don't know how. What's the national drink in Kenya? How was your approach to the locals with rum?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean that was a very challenging part, I would say. Kenya being predominantly a big beer, whiskey, and gin drinking nation, mm-hmm. right now. So it was a bit of a challenge to impose rum. And I think I made that kind of like comparison between the conception of rum between Kenya and the rest of the world, when In Kenya, you would have two brands, mainly two brands that I don't need to name, are the mainstream brands, and that are not even really focusing on the premium range within that brand. So it's mainly just the cocktail kind of like mixers that they would focus on, and that's what people knew about rum until we came in with Tortuga Rum Bar and really started creating that kind of culture around rum. People are discovering that rum is more than just a spirit or something that you mix into cocktails. They started learning that it is as well an entire lifestyle. There's an entire lifestyle behind drinking rum. So that's what we managed to do. I mean, the culture was quite inexistent, I would say, in Kenya before that. And now events, it's very basic what you would find. However, once we came in particular, one of our suppliers really started working with us to get some more of the different premium brands. So we were getting a bit of Zacapa, El Dorado, even Dictador, we were getting as well. A little bit of the different, I would say, Diplomatico, yes, they would have that as well, but as well as some up-and-coming, very, very good African rums, I would say, as well, they started getting. Speaking of, right now, well, I am involved as well in this story of an African rum, so... after coming here and spending a few years in Kenya, I managed to link up with a few friends, and decided to go about the story of and join them in an adventure called Bahari Rum.
Mm-hmm.
Bahari Rum is the first Kenyan premium rum. And say so, we have a 3-year blend at that, and as well as a single cask 12-year-old blend from 12-year-old single cask from Mauritius. I'm sorry. So I'm part of that adventure of bringing more in Kenya, but as well as on the entire continent, because the brand Bahari is moving towards what we would call an African rum collection. So we're looking at different terroir from Africa to produce a different edition of that rum as well.
What is your role in the company, and how did you get to this company? Because I was reading on a website, romporter.com, about Bahari. There's a nice article from the 5th October 2023 about how everything started. So it was two Frenchmen who started this brand. Yep. They were thinking, let's say, small, and then suddenly they decided to expand, and they are also now working with I don't remember the name, sorry, in Mauritius, this big company called
Gracia.
Exactly, yes. How could you get in all this process? How was your approach to this nice project?
So it actually was a very weird story, not to say that it was cheating on rum, but it was actually at a gin tasting.
Okay.
That I met those French guys. They were just because they're one of them was part of representing that gin brand in Kenya.
Mm-hmm.
So I went to that tasting because in the store where they were doing the tasting, they also have some very great rum from Martinique as well. So there used to be a supplier as well for the bar. So I just went there for that tasting, for that gin tasting, met them. We discussed about our love for rum during that gin tasting, actually.
Okay.
Yeah. And then now, a few years later, we became very, very close friends, and we got into that adventure. Right now, I'm part of the trying to push the brand, looking at different opportunities around the continent as well, especially to push that brand right now.
So really interesting. From a gin tasting, you ended up in the rum world. I mean, you were already in the rum world.
Creating a rum.
Yeah, exactly. amazing. And yeah, so I also saw that the Bahari they see big, so they may be the next big company in Kenya. Do you think that is a huge potential in Kenya, or are you maybe looking more also for exporting? How do you see Kenya as a rum nation in the next, say, 5 years?
In the next 5 years, I think, definitely rum will be one of the next big things in Kenya, especially the way that we are trying to really push it. However, the main focus right now is just to really expand and export the brand around the African continent, but as well as in Europe. So looking at potentially going into some of the major rum fests going on around in Europe, just to see. And as well, why not bring a major rum fest event in mm-hmm. Africa, in Kenya more specifically. So this is what we're trying to build right now. Myself personally, as I would say, an ambassador for rum, but also being part of that brand called Bahari. Mm-hmm. So it is about just bringing it together and really pushing. I think we have a very, very, very big potential. We're working on quite a few additions right now, based on different countries, and those different countries have a very, very different history with you would call sugarcane or the terroir, the spices, and all of that that we try to incorporate into the flavor of the rum. So that's what we're trying to bring when we are thinking about making a new blend.
Mm-hmm. I was just checking now on the again on this website about the blends. The products available. So is it correct? You have just two for the moment. You have the 3 years old Bahari blend, and then you have the Bahari 2010. Is that correct? And if yes, can you just describe us quickly these two rums? How are they produced? I see there's all grace involved in the first one. So if you can just maybe explain us quickly how the concept behind and how they are made.
The three-year blend, as indicated, it is a blend. So it is more of the Kenyan edition. So it's the blue label of what we are bringing out. So this one is, as we say, we take a three-year-old rum from Mauritius, but blended with more of Kenyan rum. So molasses-based rum from Kenya. So we source this sugarcane from the coast of Kenya. And then the entire process, the distillation and the blending happens very close to Nairobi. And so this blend is supervised, I would say, or at least it comes from different tasting of Christian Verger, master blender. So this is what he would interpret as the story of Bahari. So Bahari means ocean in Swahili. So it is basically taking the entire past history of the entire coast of Kenya or Eastern African coast, where there used to be a lot of trade, spice trades going on all the way to what we now call the island of Zanzibar in Tanzania. So This is what we try to incorporate. So you have those different notes in the rum. So different notes of spices, different notes of dried fruit and spices in it. So that's what mainly comes out. So as we're looking at the different editions of the rum, so that is why the 2010 edition, which came out, so the 2010 edition, which came out in 2022, so it's a 12-year single cask. It is a Mauritian edition directly. So it's from it's a Mauritius edition. So it's a single cask, 12-year age from Mauritius. So we've worked a lot with Grace to really get things set when it comes to the bulk of the rum. So this is mainly the story behind it. And from that 12-year, you get a bit of the smokiness, red dried fruits. That's what is coming out. So definitely a very premium rum. So very limited edition as well. About 150 bottles that we produced of that. It's going quite well on the market right now.
Where is your bigger market? Which one? Is it in Europe or?
Right now, yes. Right now, it is still Kenya. Okay. However, we are also currently in Rwanda, and we are looking at different opportunities towards South Africa, but of course, the bigger market in Europe. As well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and
as mentioned, it is still a craft rum, so we are producing very small batches at the moment.
Yeah.
So yeah.
And any in the future, do you think that you are going to use 100% Kenyan molasses, or are you going to still work with blends with maybe Grace, or have you any project in this sense?
There's a bit of a project right now. I would rather leave it to the CEO to talk about it.
Okay, yeah.
however, what I can say about it is that we're working for something with pure sugarcane juice as well at the moment. So experimenting with that, and it should be coming out very soon.
You know that I also do rum tastings here in Cartagena. I just wanted to ask you, what is your approach with people when you have to explain to people what rum is, how is the perception of rum when they first get into it, and what kind of rums are you mainly using when you are giving to a broader audience, trying to make understand to what rum is to a broader audience, what kind of rums are you using?
So I've had very big, I would say, experience here in Kenya, running the bar into rum tastings. So I've done so many of those basically on a daily basis at Tortuga, and then going to different outside outlets, so other bars, other restaurants, other private partner, I would say clubs, private clubs, mm-hmm. That wanted to have that experience. It's been a very wonderful experience. And to me, one of the main things that I got out of it was the fact that seeing how people are very open to experimenting with rum. Because one of the first things when they would come is that, trying to get them to enjoy rum is that one of the first answers is, I don't like rum, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah.
And then you're asking, but what have you tasted before? And of course, it's the usual getting drunk from cocktails with very basic rum that's what really comes, you know. And then you're like, no. So that means that you haven't tried any premium rum. So here we go. So my approach is to what I managed to do was that we got into the different styles of rum. So we go a little bit around the history of rum, how it is made, the different process, and then the different, I would say, styles of rum or influence that rum had throughout the years, since when it was basically made, at least the modern rums, until now. So going through those different styles of rum, so whether you would go to Spanish influenced rum, French influenced rum, British influenced rum, the making of it. So we would go through through those different styles, and then usually start with more on the sweeter side of things, especially if you do not have anyone that really know about rum or that are very skeptical and to trying. So you try something that is much easier to start with, and then gradually go into the different other styles. Usually the Spanish influence styles of rum are the ones that we start off with, and then going into the British influence ones and the French influence ones towards the end. As you, of course, you would know, you know, there's a world of difference between molasses rum and pure sugarcane juice rum. So in terms of taste, in terms of flavor, in terms of tasting notes, people would find it so different. And then it's very, very fun to see people who are not into rum at all choosing what is their favorite style of rum. You know, so that's one thing that I think was really that really stays with me with all those rum tastings. I mean, in general, for the approach, it's really getting them to understand that there's more to it than mixing it with cocktails. There is more to it than just something that you drink to get drunk, and exactly, yeah. You can actually enjoy and sit down, sip a rum, pair it with, of course, one of the cliche things is cigars, but also chocolate. Yeah, I know you're doing tastings with chocolate as well.
Exactly.
So we actually were doing that, and the pairing was amazing as we worked with one of the chocolate producers here, well, at least Chocolaterie. So yeah, we had to work with them, doing the whole homework, I would say, sitting down and really tasting, seeing what works better with the different rums that we wanted to taste, and then they would make custom, we would customize the chocolate with the rum that we want to make, so that the rum that we want them to be tasting as well. So it was actually a very excellent pairing, I would say, when it comes to that, because the chocolate was basically made for that rum, at least that they had the capacity to make it. So that's why we were really, really, really happy with those rum and chocolate tastings that we were having as well. And of course, that attracts even more people that are a little bit more reluctant to try to try rum. Once you see chocolate is involved as well, so.
Yeah,
I don't know if that's your experience as well.
Exactly, yeah. It's exactly the same. I mean, we have a lot of customers, clients coming, and sometimes they say, I'm just here for chocolate. And rum is not really the priority, but it's always nice to see that at the end of the class, and you know, it's mainly We are showcasing Colombian rums, so it's mainly, of course, the Spanish style, if I can say, if I can classify it as a Spanish style, sometimes a bit sweeter. And yes, it's also easy rum to pair with chocolate. People love it. And yeah, it's so interesting to see how chocolate democrat makes it more democratic to get into rum. So this is always a pleasure to see that people at the end of the class, they go happy and they may buy some rum to take home from Colombia back to the States. So this happens often, and also because thanks to the chocolate.
That's amazing. That means the job is done. You know?
Exactly.
They put their hand in that pocket and get that bottle after, you know the job is done.
Exactly.
You've created a new rum fan.
Exactly. That's a mission we have here. And Ron, I have a question. So you told me that before the Tortuga bar is no longer open, you closed it. Is that correct? And if yes, are you going to reopen it one day, or your project now is 100% focused with Bahari?
I wouldn't say 100% focused with Bahari, because right now I'm also looking at some other rum-related ventures. I'll take my time to talk about it maybe in the future, mm-hmm. once things start clearing up a bit more. But when it comes to Tortuga, yes, it is a little bit with the circumstances, of course. We had opened right in the middle of the COVID crisis, mm-hmm. so it was a bit of a gamble into where it's going. Although we did start getting the crowd that we wanted, I would say there were other circumstances around, especially with the overall economy, and it was a worldwide thing as well. The impact that this had on countries, different countries' economies. So things started really to slow down very, very quickly, and then we had other factors, especially here in Kenya. But I mean, the opportunity is there. The brand name, I think people really appreciated it already here in Kenya. So there is still that possibility that we're looking into. Now it's all about finding the right location, the right timing to make sure that it goes, because even till this day, I still have guests that are requesting, or at least that are, I'm getting to do some private events for them, at least cater to some private events mm-hmm. for them, as well as private rum tasting sessions. So we are still the brand name is still out there here in Kenya. So of course it would be a great opportunity as well to just jump back on the saddle and get back with Tortuga here. But yeah, this we'll have to see. As I said, it's all about finding right location, timing, opportunity, and then we'll see how it pans out.
So you're still doing kind of pop-up events, like are you still doing it, rum tasting, or
multiple pop-up events? Definitely multiple pop-up events with the brand name Tortuga, and then private events as well, collaborations with other restaurants for bar takeovers, and all of that. So that is still happening. So keeping the name there, the brand name out there still, and of course pushing the love of rum mm-hmm. All over. So
yeah,
this is still happening. So so it would be it is still there as a possibility to just get back, finding the right location and getting that done again.
And just
then I'm still focused on Bahari as well. So.
Yeah, of course. I have a broader question about African rum. So there's a lot of on the website, on other podcasts that we heard a lot of about African Rom, which is growing. How do you see African Rom, and what can you say? Sorry, which one would you say are the most the best ones or the most represented ones now in Africa? I heard about, of course, South African Roms, but is there something else besides Kenya that you think it's going to be the next country, which has a huge potential in Africa?
So yes, definitely. I mean, yeah, of course, once you talk about African Roms, you basically just go to South Africa, where there, you know, there's a bigger production capacity to produce as well, and you already have some very established brands there that I'm sure you know about, and of course Mauritius being part of the continent as well. Yep. So Mauritius is one of the biggest producers, of course. And then right now what we are seeing is like the what is coming up as well. Some rums from the Seychelles were also really coming up. But I think that apart from Kenya, that has a very big potential right now in terms of rum production, that's apart from having Bahari, Kenya does have a large potential. There is another distiller who's still struggling to finalize a few things, I would say, in order to put his product out, but he's producing a pure sugarcane juice rum here in Kenya as well. Mm-hmm. And then still in the region, I think Rwanda, and I was just there last week, and there's some amazing things that are happening right now. There's a pure sugarcane juice rum that I tried, and I'm actually having while I'm listening right now, while I'm talking to you right now.
Okay.
It's called Imizi. So it's a Rwandese rum. So it's a very pure sugarcane juice infused with some botanicals. So kind of the same style as a Boukman rum from Haiti.
Uh-huh.
So you get, yep, like a lot of those botanical notes coming from it, and it's really amazing. So I think that as well, Rwanda has a very big potential, especially that they do have quite a lot of producing a lot of sugarcane. So
mm-hmm.
It's coming up. So it's just about getting the right people to have an eye on those countries and making that right investment and getting something of quality and finding the right distribution channels, of course.
Yeah, that's of course is the most important, the channel distribution. Without distribution, it's mm-hmm. basically mission impossible to develop a brand.
It sits on the shelves.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So you said Rwanda, the name of the rum, I didn't catch the name.
The rum is Imizi.
You were there working maybe on something for the future. You were helping them out with your knowledge, or were you just there as tourist?
No, completely unrelated what I went to do there, but it's also part of like new ventures that I'm also looking into. So new locations in Africa, new things, new opportunities.
Okay.
So,
yeah.
Definitely. At that, and then I had managed to have a little chat with the guys from Imizi, and they're doing an absolutely great job there. Mm-hmm. And I think this brand has a very bright future as well.
Yeah, are they distilling everything locally? I imagine everything is made 100%.
Everything is done locally. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, looks nice. I'm on the Instagram page. Okay, Ron, so I don't know if you have something else you would like to add. I just wanted to ask you, you personally, in the next 5 years, or what is your future, the plans, and how do you see you as Rom, apasionado, in the next 5 years? What's your plan, generally speaking? Are you moving to Cartagena, maybe?
I mean, that is also a possibility. That is also a possibility. Everything is still possible when it comes to moving, as long as there's rum, as long as there's the ocean, you know. So to me, that's those are the two main factors that makes me really want to move. But yeah, I mean, next 5 years, of course, big expectations for Bahari, and then some of the other projects that I'm working on still related to rum. So I think that those are the main things that I'm looking forward to for those next 5 years, I would say, at least really getting there on the map. And of course, continuing with that passion and sharing that passion for rum, sharing the love for rum, and really, I mean, what I try to do is, I would say, yes, it's around rum education, of course. So getting more out there in terms of the rum education and what I can do for this industry, what I can do for this sector, and really push quality rum, I would say, because yes, of course we all know there's a lot of things that would not even pass as rum in a lot of places that are out there as well. But still, you know, it's like pushing quality rum and really pushing the whole culture behind it. Yes, of course. When you talk about culture, you talk about Caribbean, Latin American culture behind it of rum. However, also integrating that new age of rum as well, because you have rums coming from Japan, you know, rums coming from a little bit everywhere, Scotland, you know, right now. Well. So exactly. So you have things coming from a little bit everywhere. So of course, integrating those new rum and being part of that ever evolving spirit, you know, because it's been there for centuries and will still be there for many centuries to come. So of course, there's evolution. There's new stories to be told around it as well. So hoping to really be part of that journey for as long as I can. Of course, you know, there's a little bit of everything, and it's the whole rum industry is also very much influenced with the way the world is also working when it comes to economics and yeah, all of the other aspects. So of course you have some major brands with a lot behind them that can push further and grow bigger than other brands that also have the quality. However, they do not have yet the means to really be in the market and really showcase the quality that they have as well. So yeah, I mean, there's a little bit of all of that. Of course, there's always the darker side of things, you know, a lot of marketing and being put behind certain brands, behind certain rums, and yeah, you kind of like cast a shadow over some other very good ones. So it's all about really showing the versatility and the diversity in the rum range, and really trying to push regardless whether it's a small guy or a big guy, but at least as long as the quality is there and that it's doing the right it's portraying the right image of rum as well in terms of quality. Exactly. So I think to me that's the main thing. As long as we can do that, I'm happy to put my my brick into into building that castle.
Thank you very much for your time, Ron. I know it's already 10. I don't know if you're going to work early tomorrow.
I'll have a few more things to do later on, but yeah, I mean, it was a pleasure to be here and having that wonderful chat with you around a subject that we both love. So
exactly.
To me, it's a pleasure. So I, it was spending an evening doing what I love. So to me, it's amazing.
Thank you very much, Ron.
So thanks again for the opportunity.